I don't know if you follow the news about what has been happening to Christians overseas. These last months, we've had thousands of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ killed for their faith in Him. It's even going on today. Not only adults, but children. And so before we start today, because we're going to be talking about listening to Jesus. And oftentimes when we listen to Jesus, it makes people upset. And we may think we need to be quiet. But God's word says, no, don't be quiet. You speak up for me as the Spirit leads you. But before we get to our message this morning, I just want us to bow in prayer. Pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ and for their families today, that they might experience God's strength, God's protection, God's provision in this very desperate time. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you for yourself. We thank you that you're God. There is no other God but you. And we praise you that you look out for your own. You have told us that in this world we will have tribulation, but don't be overcome with fear. We're to look to you. Lord, you know the situation today. We have many Christians that have been put to death because they will not renounce their faith in you. So, Lord, we pray for them today, wherever they are, in the Middle East, in Asia, in Africa, wherever they are, Lord God, we humbly ask in your holy name that you would reach down, that you would touch these dear people. We pray for their protection. We pray that you would just surround them with your care. And Lord, I pray that you would convict the hearts of these people that are doing these atrocities, that before they do it, that they would be so overcome with guilt, so overcome with your presence, that they would stop what they're doing. We entrust these dear people to your care, Father God. We thank you now for our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we thank you for what you will do. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. This morning, the message notes will not be up on the screen, but you do have a message note page in your worship folder. So I have provided that for you. So this morning, if you would like to take notes, please feel free to do that. This morning, I'm going to be speaking about when Jesus speaks, are we listening? When Jesus speaks, are we listening? God has given us His Word. His Word is absolutely glorious. It's holy. It's that which gives us strength. It's that which shows us how to have a personal relationship with Him, how to grow in our faith in Him. But oftentimes, perhaps we don't listen. Now, what happens just naturally when people listen? Well, when they listen, they can grow in knowledge. They can learn how to build relationships. They can understand how to be kept away from injury. Well, let's face it, many people today do not listen. And the reason they do not listen is because there's a host of distractions that come into their everyday lives. And so they ask the question, how do I determine what I'm going to listen to? Well, I believe there could be numerous answers to this, but the important aspect of the answer is this. They listen out of need. They listen out of need. We might ask ourselves, what do I need as I listen to others? Or what will happen to me if I don't listen? Or what benefits will come my way if I do listen? And so this morning we're going to go to the Gospel of John. And I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, please. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 12. And we're going to consider verses 1 through 11, having this theme of listening when Jesus speaks. As we consider these verses, we're going to zero in on two people. I can't begin to share all that this passage talks about. There's way too much. But we're going to zero in on two people. Two people. Everybody had listened, quote unquote. But there was one person who in particular listened to what the Lord Jesus said. And because of what she heard and did, the Lord Jesus now responds to the rest of those who were listening to him. Now let me quickly give you a little background of John 12, 1 through 11. In the way of background, we know that the Lord Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross to die for our sins. And just prior to him going to the cross, he has spent an enormous amount of time ministering to the Jewish religious leaders and the population of Israel at large. He has shared with them who he is and what he's come to do. The religious leaders didn't like it because he was very pointed in his thoughts. He told them that what they were doing and what they were teaching was incorrect, and they did not like it. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very clear about making this known to us. But then we come to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John gives to us the personal times that the Lord Jesus had with his disciples, the fellowship that he had with them. He knew what was coming. He knew that they were not understanding. And so he wanted to have a special time with them, encouraging them, strengthening them, so that they might be prepared with what was about to happen. And dear people, may I share with you that it's the same today. The Lord Jesus, through his word, by the Holy Spirit, wants us to be prepared for what's going to happen to us. Jesus is coming again. Do we believe that? Oh, you don't sound like you're assured of that. Jesus is coming again. Do you believe that? Yes. Amen. He is. And the Bible tells us that things aren't going to get any better. They're going to get worse. And so we need to be prepared for what's going to take place. And the Lord Jesus, in his word, will do exactly that. Prepare us as we listen to what he has to say. And so today, as we consider this passage of Scripture, we're going to zero in on one of these very special times of fellowship. It's his last week before he goes to the cross. And John now invites us to listen in to the happenings and the conversation which takes place there. Would you please look at John 12, beginning at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had what? Raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now notice, but one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a what? He was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. Yeah, you will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Please know this. Our Lord's heart was full of love and concern for his disciples. Again, he knew that his time was short. He was going to die for the sins of the world. And he knew that their heartaches and difficulties would be made even greater because of a problem. And that problem was that they had not really been listening to what he had been saying. And because they hadn't been listening, they didn't fully believe who he was and what he had come to do. Well, as I looked into God's word, and I've studied John for years and years and years, but it was made fresh to me once again. This is the first main point. As I studied this passage of Scripture, it became clear to me again that Jesus desires to share his heart with his children. Jesus desires to share his heart with his children. That's why we have his word. It's his love letter to us. He's communicating to us. It's not just words on a page. It's the heart of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And so I ask a question, and those who come on Sunday night to evening worship know I ask a lot of questions. Do you and I understand how much the Lord Jesus desires to share his heart with us? My friend, may I share with you today that Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. His love is never ending. He's ever faithful. And he always is seeking to touch our lives at the point of our need. Now, if I were to ask you this morning how many of us have needs, the majority of us would raise our hands. Some of those needs are stupendous, and we feel all alone, and we wonder who will help us. May I share with you that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to help you. But as he wants to help us, we need to be listening to what he is saying to us. These truths the Lord Jesus was making clear to his disciples as he spends time with them. Now in John 12, this is a time of great celebration. Even though his death was impending, this was a glorious time of them spending this time together. Now, it wasn't just anyone who was speaking to these people. It wasn't some great superstar on the stage of Israel at that time. Think with me. This was the very creator of the universe, the one who hung the stars and planets in space. This is God himself reaching out to his own people, the one who loved them and understood them completely. The very Son of God was choosing to spend time with people like you and me, even though the cross was before him. Secondly, John tells us that Jesus was there in a very special place. John doesn't tell us, but Mark tells us that it's at the home of Simon the leper. Now, what do we know about lepers? Lepers weren't dead, but they were regarded as dead. Nobody wanted anything to do with him. And so now, here we have Jesus in the home of Simon the leper, this man who was horribly ill. Nobody wanted to do with him. And now his life is whole. He's reunited with his Lord and his family. He's leading a productive life. And as I thought of that, I thought, you know, Lord Jesus, that's what you want to do in us. You want us to be whole. You want us to be reunited with you. You want us to lead a productive life that brings glory to your name. Through faith in Jesus Christ, he has given us a fresh start, a brand new life, a personal relationship with himself. You recall what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? He is a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come. We at First Baptist Church pray and trust that everybody who walks in these doors has this brand new life in Jesus Christ, because there's no other way to experience God except through the Lord Jesus. Thirdly, John mentions that Lazarus was also there with the Lord Jesus and the others. This is the same Lazarus who had died. John tells us in chapter 11 that Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. Can you imagine it? This man is dead. He's gone. 4 days in the grave. He should have never been able to be brought back to life. But Jesus brought him back to life. And now here's Lazarus with his Lord, with his family, with his friends. What a joy must have been in his life that day, as he's at the feet of Jesus. And again, I realize in my own life that oftentimes I let too many things take away the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ in me. Dear friends, there is an enemy of ours, Satan, who wants to take away the joy of the Lord. And he does that when we get our eyes off of Christ and put them on ourselves or put them on the problems. The Lord doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to put our eyes on him. But now in the midst of this glorious gathering, something startling is going to take place. A woman, Mary by name, anoints Jesus' feet with a very expensive perfume. And a man, Judas by name, becomes very indignant at what she has done. It's interesting that for approximately 3.5 years, the Lord Jesus has spoken to Mary and Judas and the others publicly and privately. But the outcome of Mary's and Judas's listening was entirely different. We ask why? Why was it different? Dear people, it was different because the focal point of their listening was different. Judas was a part of the disciple band, but his focal point was on himself. It was selfish. Verse 6 tells us that as he held the money bag for the disciples, he would dip into it and take what he wanted. So he listened and followed Jesus for what he could get, while Mary's focal point was on the Lord himself. And this brings us to our second major point. Listening carefully to Jesus enables us to honor him. Listening carefully to Jesus enables us to honor him. And as we will see, Mary indeed did honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, for 3.5 years, the Lord had been ministering to all, but specifically to his disciples. He told them who he was, the Son of God and their long-awaited Messiah. He told them what he had come to do, to die for the sins of the world, to die for their sins. But they had not understood. The Apostle Mark in Mark 6 tells us that after the Lord Jesus had fed the 5,000 with their families by 5 loaves of fish and 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, that they were on the Sea of Galilee. And a great storm arose, and the disciples were fearful that they were going to drown. Now, wouldn't you think that after what they had seen the Lord Jesus just do, feed 5,000 people, men, and their families, 5,000 women, perhaps 2,000, 3,000 children, 12, 13,000 people with 5 little loaves of bread and 2 little fish, wouldn't you think they would have an understanding that what he had been saying about himself was true? That he's God? That he's the one they've been waiting for? But notice what Mark says in Mark 6:51. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves. Mark 6:52 goes on to say that as they were amazed at his miracle, this was the reason. They didn't believe because their hearts were hardened. They had listened, but not really. The phrase "their hearts were hardened" conveys or alludes to a rebellion, not just ignorance. I love Dr. David Jeremiah, and I read a lot of what he has to say in studying God's word. And Dr. David Jeremiah says this about a hardened heart. People's failure to recognize Jesus' identity and mission is never just a matter of limited information or reasoning skills. Quite often, lack of understanding reflects a stubborn heart. And so it wasn't so much that these disciples couldn't believe, but they wouldn't believe. You see, a non-understanding who Jesus was, they would not believe what he did, the miracles, and they did not believe what he taught about his upcoming death. We ask then, what made the difference between the disciples and Mary? The difference is that Mary believed who Jesus was. He truly was God's son. And she believed what he came to do, to die for the sins of the world, to die for her sins. You know, when a person grasps a hold of that, that Jesus has died for their sins, it changes them, changed us completely. She mixed faith with what the Lord Jesus said. And simply stated, faith is taking God at his word. In Hebrews 11:6, we are reminded of this wonderful truth. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It is here that Mary's response to the Lord Jesus that day in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, so powerfully speaks to us. You see, Mary believed, now hear me, because she had a teachable spirit. And a teachable spirit is accompanied by a humble attitude. A lot of people can't be taught because they don't want to be taught. But Mary had a teachable spirit. She was humble before the Lord Jesus. Therefore, when Jesus spoke, she believed what he said. And as Jesus spoke of his upcoming death, we saw the great difference between Mary and Judas. Judas was occupied in doing something for Jesus, supposedly keeping the money for the disciples in the money bag, while Mary was totally occupied with Christ. Her eyes were not on doing. That wasn't first. Her eyes was on the person of Jesus. Because if our eyes are on Jesus and we're following him and listening to him, then what we do will be done for his glory. Judas' attention was on himself, while Mary's was on the Lord. I have three other quick questions for us here. And as I've said to you before on Sunday morning, whenever I ask you a question, I'm asking myself the same question. I'm 71 years old. I've been a believer since I was 8 years old. The Lord has been very gracious to me. I've had the privilege to serve him, privilege to study his word and be in the ministry for over 45 years. But I'm still learning. Still learning. I never will stop learning. Nobody will. As long as we have a teachable spirit. So here's the three questions. Do we, like Mary, have a teachable spirit when hearing or reading God's word? Secondly, are we humble before the Lord as the Holy Spirit seeks to apply God's word to our hearts? Or, thirdly, are we occupied in doing something for Jesus rather than occupied with listening to Jesus so that we might know him and in knowing him be guided by him to what he wants us to do? These are very, very important questions that every child of God needs to continually answer as we consider our walk of discipleship with him. You and I were not born again just so that we could be happy that we're in Jesus and we're going to heaven. We were born again by the blood and of Jesus Christ and faith in his name so that we might be his representatives in the world and other dear people who don't know him might hear of him and receive him into their lives and have their lives changed. But in many ways, especially in America, I think we have forgotten that. In Mark 14, same account as John 12, but a little bit different. May I share with you what Mark says? "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me." Now notice, please. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. It is clear that Mary was not preoccupied by doing, but by listening. Because Jesus said in verse 7 of Mark, "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial." While Judas was thinking, "All this year's wages was not put in the money bag where I could take it for myself," she was thinking of what the Lord Jesus had been saying all along and had made up in her mind that she was going to bring this beautiful perfume and anoint him for his soon coming burial. Now, I mentioned that when we truly listen to the Lord, we can honor him. Did Mary's life honor him? Most definitely. And because of that, the Lord Jesus publicly commended her obedience, for she took to heart what he had been saying. You and I like to receive good comments from others. We call it a pat on the back, a word of commendation. Can you imagine what it was for her to receive a commendation from God himself? She has done this for me. She listened. And she prepared something that would help me as I looked to the cross. Wow. What a wonderful commendation. But why could he give her this? He did because she took time. She set aside time to carefully listen to what he had to say. Dear people, do I set aside time to listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says to us in his word? But then she not only set aside time, she developed a teachable spirit. Those of us who are teachers, my sweetheart taught kindergarten, first and second grade for 20 years. Of all things, I taught junior high. I do not know what I was thinking of. I came into class every day, what have I done? No, they were great kids, but that's a very alarming time. Those of us who have taught, even as a pastor, we realize that only those who have a teachable spirit will understand and put to use what the Lord is saying in his word. Once again, a humble attitude and a teachable spirit go hand in hand if we are to have a close relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want to take us back very quickly to that statement that the Lord Jesus made. She did what she could. You know, oftentimes I've talked to people who've said, you know, Pastor Raj, I really can't serve the Lord. I don't have the same abilities as other people. I don't have the training that they have. They're more gifted than me. When we do that, we're not doing right. We're not to look at what others are doing. First of all, we are to look at the Lord Jesus. We look at him and we listen to what he says to us. Now, what happens if we look to him and listen to what he says? Then we, like Mary, will do what we could, what we can. The Lord Jesus wasn't expecting any more of her. He knew who Mary was. He knew what she had to give. She gave what he had given her to give. She was faithful. And through the enablement of the Holy Spirit, she honored the Lord Jesus. He doesn't ask anything different from you and me. He says, child of mine, I love you. And I've saved you that you might have a personal relationship with me. I've saved you that you might serve me. Don't worry about what others can do. Look to me and allow me by my spirit to work through you so that you can use what I have entrusted to you. But that takes careful listening, takes a humble attitude, a teachable spirit. And that the Lord Jesus wants to do in us. It happened in Mary. Is it happening in us? But then very quickly, we want to look at our third main point. Those who listen to Jesus are often or not always accepted by others. Wow, this is a very powerful saying. Look at verse 9, John 12, please. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. Our attention is now taken away from Mary to her older brother, Lazarus, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to understand today, especially in light of what we're seeing taking place in the world, that to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ can be very, very costly. It can be harmful to one's life. These friends of Jesus who were at Simon the leper's home this day before the crucifixion were very brave to attend. Why? Because the Jewish religious leaders had said, you follow those people who follow Jesus. And wherever you find him, let us know. Because we not only want to put Jesus to death, we want to put Lazarus to death, because he's now alive, he has a great impact upon all these people that see him. Follow them. So these dear people were brave in that they came to the Lord Jesus. Not only did they want to kill the Lord, Lazarus was also part of their murderous plot. Let's face it. To listen to Jesus, to love Jesus, can make some people exceedingly angry. If we had the people in the Middle East here today in our service, they would say to us, "You better believe it. I've lost my little child. I've lost my husband. I've lost my whole family because I wouldn't renounce my faith in Jesus Christ." I share with you that on Thursday the 26th, Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse is calling for a special time of prayer from all believers to pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. He's the Iranian pastor from America who's been in prison in Iran for 2 years. And for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus. He's called upon us. Pray for these dear people. If we were in their situation, would we not want them to pray for us? Yes, we would. So we must continue to listen to Jesus. Why? Let me read what Jesus said in Mark 8. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." Now, how do we as his disciples learn to deny ourselves, to take up our cross and follow him? Only by carefully listening to what Jesus says to us in his word, and then through the power of the Holy Spirit, obey him. In closing, I want to share an example that has never left me. Back in the early 1970s, it was my privilege to be a part of a ministry that ministered in Japan, in the major city centers of Japan. And we ministered through teaching English as a second language. I was the home director. My responsibilities included leading the office here in the States and then helping to find missionaries who would go and helping them gain support so that they could go. But to understand the ministry, I had to go to Japan. And what a thrill it was for me to see God at work. While there, I heard of a dear little 13-year-old girl. I did not see her. I just heard of her. This little girl had listened to what Jesus said, and she had invited Jesus to come into her life. Her parents were Buddhists. Families had been Buddhists for centuries. And when they found out that this little girl had asked Jesus into her heart, they were angry. They were furious with her. And they wanted nothing to do with her, but they kept her in the house. She then told them, "I want to obey what Jesus has said. I want to follow him in what the Christians call believer's baptism." And they said, "If you are baptized in this Jesus name, you no longer belong to us. We will throw you out. You're dead to us." She's 13 years old. What did she do? She listened to Jesus. "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." This precious 13-year-old girl was baptized in the name of Jesus. And true to their word, her family disowned her. They threw her out. She was dead to them. In many places, they actually have a funeral. And the child is buried in the ground, as it were. No more to be thought of. So this precious little 13-year-old girl who listened to Jesus had no more family. But she did have Jesus. Wow. She was now living in a Sunday school room in the church to which she belonged. That was her home. I will never forget her story. This was back in 1971. She still impacts my life. You see, listening to Jesus and obeying him is part of the life of discipleship that Jesus calls us to. Mary listened carefully to the Lord Jesus and obeyed him. This precious 13-year-old girl carefully listened to the Lord Jesus and obeyed him. It cost them both dearly. One last question. What about us? Are we listening carefully to the Lord Jesus and obeying him today? That's his question. That's his question to me. Your pastor, doesn't matter. Am I, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, carefully listening to him and obeying him? That's his question to all of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for you. We thank you that you love us, that you care for us. And now, Lord, we've heard what you want to do in our lives as we humble ourselves before you. I pray for all of us, myself included, that we would make it a holy habit to listen to you and then to obey you, not because we have to, but because we want to, because you've filled our lives with love for yourself. Lead us, Lord Jesus. We give you all the honor, glory, and praise. We ask this in your holy name, Lord. Amen.